check-in on the Serta Counting Sheep.
Why aren't we counting anymore?
Well, the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper has the Q4 support system that helps relieve aches and back pain.
We'll never get counted again!
Nope.
Save this Memorial Day. Shop at a retailer near you.
Secrets to success? No thanks. I'm Sally Christensen, and this is Work Friends, a podcast from Argent, a women's workwear brand. I sit down with the most remarkable women we know to share upfront and unfiltered career stories, the good, the bad, and the unapologetically ambitious. Because when you're among work friends, nothing's off the table. Listen and follow on all podcast platforms and subscribe to the Argent YouTube channel for video episodes. Plus, follow us on Instagram at Argent for all the latest.
Welcome back to another episode of Tap In with TT. My special guest today, Memphis Bleek, is here.
What's up, my girl?
So, Bleek, you remember the first time we met?
I don't.
Okay, we were at the station. The first time we met.
I was going to say that. I just didn't want to be wrong. Y'all. Yeah. I was capping
and,
a little
and what
bit.
You came promoting an artist, and what did I say to you? I said.
You told me. You was like, yo, you was one of my favorite artists growing up.
No, is my favorite artist.
Yes, you said I had a poster, your poster on my college room wall. I was like, oh, I'm gonna definitely get me some extra spins. I knew I was lit.
Yo, out of everybody off of Rockefeller, you are my favorite.
Oh, man, thank you so much.
You are my favorite.
I told you I was better than Jay. You don't believe me, yo.
Listen, because as a kid, it was just, you had everything, I feel like the swag. You had everything that I feel every artist need to have. Like,
thank you.
In terms of like, girls gotta wanna, and I don't wanna say this to be rude. I'm gonna be as respectful as possible because I know you're a married man. But girls gotta wanna fuck you. Men gotta wanna be you. And you gotta have bars. And you had all three. You checked all three boxes.
Thank you.
So I always felt like, huh, and he's from Brooklyn. And for whatever reason, I like men from Brooklyn.
Oh, man, yeah,
that
man.
That is a bad recipe.
Yo, Brooklyn, I don't know. It's just us. And we everywhere, so we a problem.
Yeah, y'all a problem. And so my college, but here's the kicker. I like Brooklyn guys, but I'm going to tell this story. I don't think I ever told Bleek this story. So I dated a guy from Queens in college, freshman year.
That's our cousin.
I went to Norfolk State. He knew Bleek was my favorite artist. I went and purchased the CD. I think it was Coming of Age.
And right? He broke it.
And he broke it in half.
Hater.
Because I was like, because we broke up. I'm like, yo, bring me back my stuff. Bring me back my stuff out your dorm room. Because I lived one side of the campus and he lived on the other side of the campus.
And he broke the CD. Typical cousin, see?
And then he put all my stuff in a trash bag. And inside the CD, when I opened it, was broken in half.
Oh, man.
You I was all, so tight.
Yo, you all Coming of Age CD, X.
Then he got locked up for robbing a pizza guy in Virginia. See, that's what he did.
And he robbed the brokest person? Yes. They don't have no money.
Well, I was on the phone with him. I believe I was on the phone with him.
He probably got
$15.35
from the delivery guy.
Yeah, that's it. And it's crazy because I think he might have did. I kept in touch with him for a little bit, writing him from jail. I know this is young girl shit, but I think he might have got like a 7-year bid for that.
It didn't matter how much you took. It was the crime. But I know he got no more than $17.
Yeah.
The delivery man don't have, they don't walk around with $1,000. Like, they got enough to give you change, and that's it.
Wow. All right, so listen, you've been a part of like hip-hop history since a young age, right? When you look back, do you feel like people truly understand the role you played in the Rockefeller area?
No. Era? I don't think they appreciate it.
Mm.
I don't think they understand or appreciate the role I played because I'm a team player. It was never about me. It was about Jay.
Yeah.
Like, and for me, it was about getting him to where he needed to be because regardless of what the end result was, as long as he's good, everything else will fall in place for me. Because I was the young guy, and you know, I just wanted to show them my work ethic. I'm on time. I'm not going to miss no studio days, none of that. And then that was it. And I just think people think I just got on board for the free ride with Jay. Like, it get misconstrued. Like,
because I was going to ask you, that was my next question. What is something in your journey that people get wrong?
That they think, they look at the end of the book and put it as the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They look at Hove. Remember, Hove was, that's now. Back then it was Jay-Z.
Yeah.
No one was playing the records.
Yeah.
We was riding around. trunk full of records, going to mm-hmm. Beach Street, going to all these different mixtape spots, Bikini in Manhattan, everything, paying people to take the, you know, the albums, the singles, the yeah. mixtapes, whatever we was doing. We was making baskets to send to Angie Martinez, Flex, yeah. Red Alert, Ed Lover, all of them. So, like, those days, I feel like people didn't get to see them. All they know is Billionaire Jay. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, of course Bleak gonna be. So they like, of course Bleak gonna be loyal to him. Like, yeah. it's like, it's not about money with us. It's family, man. Yeah. It's deeper than that. Like,
because yeah. I always like think it's corny that people are so infatuated with y'all relationship.
It's crazy.
It's kind of corny to me, especially like when I recently saw you trending when he did the Complex. I think it was a Complex interview. No,
the what is the interview he just did? Damn, we both foul. GQ.
Both
bad.
The GQ interview, and everybody's like, oh, he didn't do for Bleak's podcast. But here's what, in my mind, because I have friends that are celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. That are like super yes. out there, right? When you're friends with someone on that status, it's not about an interview with you guys.
No.
It's you have interviews in real life and things that people will never understand. And for me, preferably, I would not like to show that part of our friendship.
Exactly. And
because it's special between us.
And I'm not a journalist. Like, I'm stepping into journalism. I'm learning it. But I'm not going to ask them questions that you would ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A real journalist is going to ask them real, you know, dig deep questions, them real questions people want to hear. Me, I want to know, hey, why wasn't I invited to the, they said they're Illuminati. Why I wasn't invited to the party? They're going to hear questions like that. Like, you know what I mean? Why I only got one verse on this album, fam? Like, why I can't get two? Why didn't you let me rap on Dear Summer? Like, those is the questions I'm going to ask. Summer, you know what I'm saying?
But I always just think it's just super corny. I'm like, but I would prefer a real life relationship than yes. Interview. But
exactly.
I guess people, because a lot of these kids coming up, or a lot of people that's getting into the journalism space or the podcast space or mm-hmm. whatever space they want to call it, because some of them aren't real journalists because they don't even do the research to understand the history.
Exactly.
So I understand that they may not know, and sometimes we have to reteach them the history.
Definitely. All the time. These kids is retarded. They don't want to even learn. So you got to teach them every day. Every day. Something you just told them yesterday, you have to tell them again tomorrow. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's like important to like share your story and for them to understand like, no, like I'm from the same projects.
Yes.
We grew up.
Like our families, it's embedded in stone. Like his mother is like my mother. His
right.
sisters is like my sisters. His nephews is like my nephews and my brothers. It's a family thing. And it's not something you put on display. It's not for a podcast. It's not for Instagram reel. It's not for the public.
And like, and as a friend, I would prefer it that way.
Like, think about it. Would you want to see my real brother sit here and interview? You don't even know him. You're like, I don't, but he's my real brother. Like, and what are we going to talk about? Brother things? Yo, you took my G.I. Joe. Like, you know what I mean? So.
And you know what's so crazy is how people have all of these opinions about a relationship and about a person that never speaks.
Yo, I love it. And I
feel like he never does speak. He don't do interviews. He don't jump out there and talk about anything. He never speaks.
I'm still learning from him because I respond.
Yeah.
I told him it must be the bank account that make you hush. Because me, it's like, what you said? Like, I don't know how you do it. That's a different level of
discipline.
Discipline, patience, and just knowing who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's nothing to be said. When you know who you are, you don't have to answer the crowd.
But for me, I look at it like this is why he's so successful.
Definitely.
Because he has a level of confidence and discipline that took him from this to this just because he's that disciplined.
That's right. But don't think off camera in the office, he ain't like, these bitch ass niggas, I slap this nigga. Like, he's still saying that.
Yeah.
Bet that.
I bet. So let's take it back to 1999, right? What do you hear when you go back and you listen to Coming of Age? Right?
The song or the album?
The album.
Okay.
Is there something... First of all, do you ever revisit that album?
All the time.
Okay. So what do you hear when you revisit it?
I hear exactly where I was at, the kid I was, how, I don't want to say trapped because it was all I knew, but how local and
regional.
just one track minded I was. Like all I thought was projects, drugs, smoking weed, let's go to the club, get girls, let's get a car, get some sneakers, and that's it. That's what I thought life was.
But at the time, you wasn't exposed to much either.
No. So that was all I knew. So that's why that album is so personal to me, because it takes me back to a time before fame even existed to me, before any of this was mattered. Like, all I was speaking about was my day-to-day, everything I lived, everything I went through, everything I saw, and I put it on one project, and people loved it. I didn't even expect. I thought people was going to be like, man, Myth Bleak is trash. I didn't even like the record.
Really?
I liked it, but I didn't think people would like it because it's my name being said. When Swiss chopped up the hook and we doing it, it's like, I don't think people going to sing that. And then when they did, it was like,
they still sing it to this day.
That's what I say. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But I definitely underestimated myself. A lot of records. Think of that?
Yeah.
Like, Myth Bleak is. Only record I could say I knew from the gate. It's two records I knew.
Which ones?
Was Round Here and Like That.
Really?
I knew. It was no denying.
So is that your chick you didn't think?
Nah, because it was on Jay album. So I never really looked at it. Like, I worked with Timbaland and created something. Remember, Jay put that song on his album that was released overseas, I believe, in like the UK or something. And the record did so good that he just gave me the beat. It was like, Bleak, write two verses to it.
So I want to go back. I want to go back to where you were in your mind at that time, right? Mm-hmm. Did you ever envision as a child that life could be different, or were you so...
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counting anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again!
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.
Stuck on, like, this is the then and now, and maybe this will always be.
I always tell these rappers that that's a good, great, great question. I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of artists that I signed, I always tried to tell them, like, you have opportunity to achieve things that we never thought was possible, because you see the results of it. You can look and see a Kendrick Lamar success, a Drake success, a J. Cole, a 2 Chainz, a Fabolous.
Yeah.
You see the success in front of you. And nowadays, it was no social media. So if you didn't see the artist in front of Albee Square Mall or at a club, they wasn't really successful. So the success to us was the drug dealers.
Yeah.
So making rap, we didn't think that made you money. It just made you popular. Mm. And popularity mean the women knew you.
Yeah.
So that was all that mattered to me back then. So the money thing of it wasn't even processing in my mind.
Or to be able to change your circumstances.
Yeah, like, I didn't even think it was possible. So when I first started making money, it was like, oh, they paying me for the things I was doing for
that
free.
That I love to do.
Like, then it became a job.
But did you love to rap?
I loved to rap. Man, I loved it. I never forget. Shout out my guy, Ju Du from Marcy. Like, I always was a fan of rapping, but he the one who made me like, oh, they really, like, when you got that skill, they really fuck with you. Because I had got kicked out of my my junior high school, IS-71, and they put me in 49 on the other side of Brooklyn, and there was only one guy from Marcy, and then my guy, Ju Du. So I go to the lunchroom, and then he in the lunchroom beatboxing, rapping, and got all the girls around the table, and I'm like, teach me some moves, my man. And that's how it started.
I asked that question because, you know, I come from, like, extreme poverty. Like, extreme poverty. Sometimes I think, like, did that really happen? Because I come from such a crazy, traumatic environment.
That's right.
But I always had a vision, even though I had nothing to mimic, nothing in front of me that remotely showed me this, I could do that. I had no role models, nothing in front of me that said I could do that. But there was something inside of me that always said, I'm not gonna be
here. That's right.
So that kind of made me have this like need to succeed or this ability to try to like figure it out. Like, I mean, a lot of mistakes along the way, of course.
That's right. We all do, but that's how you learn.
But so I always knew like I had a vision like I'm not going to be dumb. I don't know what it is I'm going to be, but I know I'm not going to be that.
That's right.
So did you ever have that moment?
All the time, man. Like seeing my mama cry that she couldn't pay a bill or, you know, just the struggle of trying to provide for me and my brother and then my here come my sister. I remember being a shorty and my mom reminded me this to this day that I told her, like, Mom, when I get older, you ain't going to never be dealing with this. You will never shed tears over a dollar money amount. When I get older and I'm able to put my feet outside, I'm going to take care of the family. And she remind me that to this day, like, where would we be without you? Like,
yeah, but that's still vision. You know that's vision without understanding you have vision.
And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew it was something greater than this. It was no way. And school used to do that to me because, like you say, we grew up in poverty. Like, I grew up in Marcy. My grandmother and all them from Brownsville. So that's going from one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
So when you go, you know, your summer break, you go back to school, all the kids told them about, hey, where you went for summer? Everybody, I went to Virginia. I went to Florida. Some kids, I was in Pennsylvania. I was here. Till they get to me. Yeah, I was in Brownsville, fam. Teacher like, God bless. Thank God you made it back. Malik, like, seriously. Yeah. Like, it was drama here, drama there. So that's all I knew. And I knew it got to be something better than this. This can't be the end result.
Yeah. So when you made Coming of Age, right, the album, how important was that project to establishing your identity early out the gate? Or did you...
That album helped me establish my identity because everything was about me at Rockefeller at first. I was the only artist. Mm-hmm. Source Money had went and did his deal somewhere else, so I was the last one left. And then here come Beanie Siegel and everything shift. Mm-hmm. All the attention was on him. So shout out Lenny S, because I was frustrated. Nobody was listening to my music, paying me no attention. Everything was Beanie Siegel album. So Lenny like, yo, Bleak, I got producers. I got the studio Brielle. I know the guy who manage it. I could lock us in and we go make an album on our own. We don't need nobody help. Mm-hmm. Let's just go make an album and come back and show these guys. So my thing was to show them that, yeah, Beans is nice, but don't sleep on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when I made the album, everything was ready. His album wasn't ready. That's why they dropped mine first. Yeah. And it wasn't supposed to be that way.
Wow. That's just how the universe works sometimes.
Yep. Especially when you want it. Like, that's why I always credit Beans. I say this all the time. He made me hungrier.
Yeah.
Without that.
And I feel like Coming of Age helped establish Rockefeller as a label.
Yes.
Right?
The first successful project.
Right. Because, you know, people, for those who don't know, you know, because we got to sometimes educate people, Jay was on Def Jam.
Yes. He was not signed to Rockefeller.
He was not signed to Rockefeller.
I was. So.
Right.
I was the artist that made the label a label.
Exactly. Yes. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of black successful independent labels as you guys have grown to know today.
Yes.
You've had, you know, you had Puff's label, Bad Boy was doing it. You had, what's our guy? Run DMC, come on. What's our guy? Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, you had what he did with Def Jam early on. But as far as like an artist growing and being as successful as Jay was and then starting his own label, it wasn't a blueprint, a runway, or the blueprint on how to do it. You guys were kind of like experiencing it as it was happening in real time. But it wasn't like lessons passed down of this is how you do it.
And if you think about it, Jay was forced to do it.
Yeah.
Because he tried the traditional way of getting a regular deal. Nobody wanted to sign him. So he was forced to go independent and start his own thing and learn it himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was a gift and a curse. It's a blessing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I love it. I would never go back and change it. I'm glad no one signed them.
Yeah, that's crazy,
word.
Right?
Word. I'm glad.
That's insanity.
Looking back, I, I, looking back at it all, man, it's just still surreal to me. Like, even when I look at him, it's like the way I see people treat him. Like, I tell Jay all the time, right? Walking in the office to me now feel like the Apple store.
Wow.
Because, you know, in the Apple store, you go in there, them people act like they know Steve Jobs. It's like, yo, fam, you just get the phone and sell me the phone. It's like when I go to the office, it's like everybody a superstar.
Yeah.
Even the new guys. It's like, yo, what happened? And I get it. Is you working for the top dog, but you're not the top dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I see that with a lot of things. Like, that's why I love Desiree, Juan, Jay, Emery, Tata, because they don't quit. There is no finish line for them. There is no comfort zone.
But let me ask you this, though. At some point, is there a level of, like, I can taper off?
No. There's no finish line.
There's no finish line?
We leaving a legacy here, man. You don't want your kids to ever have to work, ever have to struggle. You got to go as hard as you can, man. We going to get the rest. When they put us in that box, we going to have all the sleep we need. All the days we, all the nights we missed, everything. It's going to catch up for it. So it's like, we only have one chance to do it. And you got to go to the extreme, especially when they denied us. Why should we stop?
So that hunger is still there. You're still hungry for success.
All the time. And I see it more from the CEOs than the interns and half of the employees. And it's sad when I see that, because it's like, you supposed to strive to be this.
Yeah.
Not be happy because you work for that.
And I think people who operate in that brain is kind of like misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm not going to lie. A lot of people misunderstand my passion for, like, she's so aggressive, she's this. Or sometimes I can be misunderstood. People will say, oh my God, you know, she's a workaholic, and she, the expectations
but
that
you
I
gotta
have
get it. Who gonna do it for
are
you?
Higher. Yes. So therefore, the people that work with me, I expect the level.
That's right. To match your intensity, your aggression.
Intensity,
Yeah, you want them to match. You don't, that's the one thing. Like, my partner Cheech, right? Shout out my dog Cheech. I remember when we first met, when we was doing the warehouse music thing, and he was like, yo, Bleak, what made you stop rapping, bro? And I'm like, yo, I fell out of love with it because, you know, my guy, rest in peace to my guy Slice, he was the motivator out the crew. Like, while we on the block chilling, Bleak, they bullshit. Let's go to the studio, man. I know you got that heat. He was the guy that motivated me. Like, yo, you gonna let Beans and them kill you? They in the studio working. You wanna be in the projects? Let's go to work. And when that died, it's like a part of me died. Like, you know, especially with the creativity and somebody pushing you to be better than you wanted to be.
Yeah.
And then my guy Cheech came along, and then he relit that candle. And that's why, you see, I dropped the project last year, Apartment 3D. I got a project with Kool & Dre I'm dropping right now. Yeah. I got a project with Smoke.
Shout out Kool & Dre. I'm supposed to get in a studio with Dre tonight.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dogs. We got something special. I got a project with Smoke Dizza.
You in the studio in Miami cooking, huh?
Cooking. We got some work. We cooking. We going to shock the world.
So let's go to 2000, The Understanding, right? What changed for you creatively on The Understanding?
Oh, it was like they liked that one, Coming to Age. They thought that was it. I got to show them now. Now it was like my confidence was there. Because when you don't know, you don't know. You're just trying.
It's like a basketball player,
right? Yeah, you're just trying. You're just shooting your shot. And then when you know, like, wait, I'm water? Oh, wait till they see me put the dribble to the shot down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what the understanding mindset was. And that's why those records were so aggressive on there. Like, everything was hype.
Yo, that album was like,
Yes. It was like, I'm here. It was the happy rage of like, damn, they fuck with me. Now I got to give them what I wanted. I never thought this was possible. Like, none of this. So
you dropped the Coming of Age. You came back with that album. You on the road. You're meeting your fans in real life. What was that energy like? Did your mind start to expand more? Like, oh, wow, now I can leave the projects. I can go move to Jersey, because, you know, that's what most people do.
Yo, I'm glad. Yo, you asking some good questions that I never really got to explain. Like, it's crazy how I ended up moving to Jersey, because remember, I'm a project dirty boy.
Yeah.
Our way out the hood was either basketball, rapping, or girl.
Yeah.
We gonna meet somebody who got their own crib, good credit, and she gonna put me on. So I met my
Brooklyn niggas. Yeah.
So I met my baby mom at a show, and she like, I'm like, where you live at? She like, Jersey. I got my own crib and two cars. Well, tonight you're my girl, all right? I live with you tomorrow. That's how I moved to Jersey.
Y'all see? Y'all see? They got a name for that. What's that name? That was
homeless.
A homo. What is it? Yeah. Exactly. So she was your girl that night.
That night, you got your own crib and two cars. Everything I'm trying to get you, my girl. We can hold hands.
Wow.
All of that in public. Everything. Wow. I don't care. So that's how I moved to Jersey. And then when the money started coming in, of course, we bought houses and everything. But. Yeah. Things went left, and here I am.
How did things go left? Did y'all didn't really know each other, though, right?
Yeah, we got to know each other. I was young. Now, looking back in hindsight, with my wife, you know what I mean, my daughter, I could see I was an asshole.
Yeah.
I wanted my cake and eat it, too.
Of course. You're rich. Well, you're getting money.
And all the girls was on me.
Yo, so they it's were like on I wanted, you.
I wanted crazy. A happy home, but I also wanted to be a gigolo. Yeah. So it was like,
yeah,
she wasn't going to put up with that, so she left.
Yeah, I think when you start to talk about marriage, being a married woman, I think it goes back to discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot that comes with this industry, and there's a lot that comes with this lifestyle. And I think people with money in general, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot to come with that. But marriage and that type of life is a different level of discipline. But I feel once men conquer that part of themselves, they become better men.
Definitely. Like I tell my homies, it becomes a time in your life, man, where that scroll through that single life and that scroll who I'ma call and then you figure out, oh, this one. And then she get there and now you mad at her. Like, damn, I invited you over and I'm mad. I'm trying to make up a reason to kick you out. That's when you know the game is over. And the personalities.
Yeah.
Because to deal with different people, you different people too.
And you're different people in different stages of your life.
Yes. You're not just, yo, I'm this every day. Some people you extra nice. This one, you a gangster.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to meet. You know, it's different shit. So I felt like I got to a point in my life to where it was just like, I'm tired of playing the games, man. I just wanted one.
Yeah.
And one that understood me. And my wife is like, is it might sound asinine or foul to say this, but it's almost like how in coming to America when it was like, yo, Eddie, we got the girl for you. Yeah. I feel like it's that because my wife understands this business to the T so much that she motivates me to go out on the road and go get it.
Yeah.
And that's because of her dad, my father-in-law, rest in peace. You know, Harry, they ran Philadelphia International Records.
Oh,
so
wow.
She was raised in the industry.
I never knew that.
Knowing her pops moving around. Remember Teddy P and all of them? Yes. I told him, hey, I probably was born off one of them tracks.
Wow. That's
like,
crazy.
Word. Like, he was the CEO of Philadelphia International. So she was raised in the industry knowing her dad life and what he had to do to provide for the fam. So she understand what I got to do. She's not that typical girl. Yeah. Yo, you got to go to club. You got to be home, be out. Like, she like, hey, you been home a week. Nobody booked you. You ain't got no recordings, no pod, nothing.
Yeah.
So I love that. And that's what drew me more close to someone that appreciated what I do and understood it.
And I think you have to have that balance in order for it to work.
Yes.
Because if you don't, then that's when it fades.
Yes.
And I also think you got to constantly work at that because it's not something that's just like every day it's there.
Nope.
You know?
I'm a firm believer that anything that becomes repetitive, you get tired of.
Yeah.
So you have to change it up. You have to rekindle the love every day. That's why I'm so spontaneous. I'm the type of person, hey, we out tonight, no clothes.
And I love the fact that, yo, that's so crazy. When I told you I went to Miami 2 weeks ago, it was because our flight was canceled to come to New York and we looked on the thing and we're like, what's the next flight out? I was like,
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counting anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.
Right. Let's just go. We'll just buy clothes when we get there. Let's just go hang out on the beach. And that's what we did.
And that's the best times. Yeah. Like, certain times you plan something and it don't go as planned. And then you could wing something and have the best time of your life. And like, wow, I didn't even know that.
But I love the fact that you show the husband, the father, because it makes it feel cool.
Like, it is cool.
Because it is really cool, but there was a time where getting money and multiple girls and was like the poster child of what success was.
Yes.
Right? Not the family, the wife, the children. The poster child was like, let's get money, let's get cars, let's get jewels, let's get bitches, let's get bottles. You know what I'm saying?
Sad truth.
But now people can see, oh, wow, these guys come from the culture.
Yes.
The culture, which is not just the music, but the life of where we come from, and be able to, like, no, you can have a family.
Definitely.
You can do right by your wife. You could.
I never thought it was possible. Like, you know, I never thought I'd be married. You would ask me 20 years ago, yo, you want to be married? I'd be like, hell no. But then, you know, certain things happen, and I love it. I feel like it's one of the best decisions I made in my life, to have a partner to enjoy everything with, that understands you. And I didn't plan it, but my whole family is Cancer. So we all, me, her, and my daughter, everybody in the crib pissed off. When we ain't talking, we all ain't talking. But it's the illest combination, because I'm not saying this because I'm here. She knows this. She's my partner. Like,
I love that.
Like, she makes me better, seriously. Like,
I love that.
And I needed that.
So, perfect segue to Is That Your Chick record, right? We talked a little bit about this record earlier, right? Because you said it was on Jay's album and then it was released overseas.
Yes.
How did it culturally connect here? To where when I was a kid, you know, I was calling 106 in Park, voting for that song, and calling the radio station Top 9 at 9 before I worked in radio. I knew that all of that was fugazi.
Because I think it worked because the message is never going to die. Mm. Is That Your Chick is something that's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Because it's sad to say, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this, I believe every piece of shit man was turned to piece of shit by a piece of shit woman.
What?
Because we all started off with Cupid in our heart.
What?
You know what I'm saying? To that woman said, I think I like him better. And then it's like, oh, that's how it go. Oh, we move the chess pieces around on the board whenever we want. And then it unlocks the dark horse, and then we out here.
And then that's
Trojan Warriors.
I don't know, because I think everything a woman experiences come from a piece of shit man.
So I think it's passed down trauma. I think it's passed down trauma.
I thought I was
buying flowers, cards.
And she broke your heart?
Hell yeah.
How old were you?
Probably what, 12?
Oh my God.
I cried. I remember shedding a tear like heart. And I remember like, this will never happen again. I will never feel this.
Wow.
Like, yeah, man. Like, that's what happened. So, and then it turned you that way. So, Is That Your Chick is the perfect represent of them women. Because think about it, right? What's my man name who had the song? I forgot his name. Damn. I Got a Man. What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
You see? Them records wouldn't exist.
I'm trying to hear that, see?
Them records wouldn't exist if women didn't play that part. Right?
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to say it's twofold. Because
so
women,
that's the first, Is That Your Chick.
I feel like men always had the upper hand when it comes to women. Because y'all have so many choices.
No, y'all get offered.
He said no.
Y'all get offered. Yo, listen, y'all walk out the door. We got to convince. We got to get shape ups, nice car, clean cut. All y'all got to do is go outside.
Nah.
We got to spit, say the nicest word.
Nah.
All you got to do is walk. And they get like, offer. I have an offer. You get offers everywhere. Then, come on. You know that.
What?
It's like the stock market. Everybody got a ticket.
Everybody can get in.
They like, yo.
So that's your chick you think connected because it just connected the culture, meaning like people, it was so relatable to
To the everyday relationship, the everyday creep. It's everything. It's TLC Creep. It's the song Wagata Man. It's all of those records. It's Akineli Put In Your Mouth.
So when y'all were working on that record, did y'all have that in mind? Or you just went in and spit
Jay
your verse?
Versus was there already.
No, so when you went in your verse.
I just capitalized off what he said. It was like, okay, this is where we going with it. And then I talked about things that I went through. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. So Jay often says that he doesn't write, and I can understand him not writing because I've been in a studio with artists and they'll hear a beat and then they hear the melody and then they'll hear how they want to flow the cadence of a record. So they'll get in the cadence of the record and then while they're in that cadence, then the flow will come and then the verse will come. And then while they're in there, they're almost freestyling it to the another verse hits. Versus writing, they're thinking, sometimes they got to get it out and then they just go in the booth and they're like, I'm going to say what they got to say and then the flow is like that. Were you like that too or did you need the pen?
I needed the pen.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't need, I thought I was Jay, that's when I fell off.
Mm.
When I went in the studio, no pen, records started getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
So now I'm back to the pen because you thinking for that time on that spot.
Mm.
When you writing it just in your mind. When you have a pen, the paper, you can erase, go back. You can go over it in the morning, at night. You know what I mean? And make sure. It's like going over a test. You know what I mean? It's like taking a test in your mind. You can't erase the answers. Once you answer, it's over.
So are you one of those artists that are like stuck on, you gotta pen your own thing?
No.
No,
because I can't say that. It would be blasphemy for me to say that. My first verse was given to me on Coming to Age.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
What verse was that?
The On Coming to Age song.
Oh, the actual song, not the album.
I had no clue. Remember, I was 14 years old. I didn't even know what equilibrium meant. Straight up. I was just like, I got to get out the projects. If this is my way. So I have to take myself out that conversation just off that. But from the Coming to Age sequels, everything else in my life has been my pen. But just because I have that on my record, I can't.
And the fact that you are willing to say that on record.
Because I never wanted to be the best. I didn't care. I just wanted to get out the projects and get some money.
Wow.
I never cared about being number one, being the best. I just wanted Jay to get on. I wanted to see his success.
So it's other people's perspective of what you wanted to be that sticks, not you.
Yes.
Your perspective.
I never wanted to be the best. That's why when people like, yo, you never claimed your spot. It's like, what spot? My spot, I'm cool. Once they said, yo, Bleak, get in the car, my spot was solidified.
Yeah.
I never wanted to take Jay's spot.
And I think the fact that you can sit here and say that to this day speaks volumes of your character because I feel in order for a relationship to work to that degree and for so long and at that level of success, someone has to take a back seat to something.
Of course.
And not have an inkling of jealousy, hate, envy.
No.
Or that, feeling. That got to be removed completely.
And I dealt with that in my whole crew. Like, people couldn't go to Fade the Black in Madison Square Garden, they don't fuck with me no more. It's like, yo, fam, it's not my show. Like, how can I bring you? I'm invited. You know what I mean? So I never felt no way. And think, Jay and them do tons of things I'm not invited to, but that's my brother. I'm not supposed to. Think of you have real siblings.
Yeah.
You hang with your siblings every day?
No.
All right.
No. There's some things that my siblings can't get into that I maybe can get into that they want to go to. And
but
it's
you
like,
just can't.
I can't get everybody.
And I don't want to hang with my brother or my sister tonight. I want to hang with the hooligans.
Yeah. So let's go to 2003. M-A-D-E.
Made.
Made. but the acronym is what it was.
Money, attitude, direction, and education.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk about that process in the recording and the mindset of like, what were you, what was that
transition? I was a broken soul then. Like, you know, my brother, my older brother.
He passed away in a motorcycle accident.
No, he didn't pass. He survived, but, you know, my brother's never been the same. I just had him with me in the studio last night. Like, it's crazy. Like, watching my older brother who taught me everything, you know, struggle to walk, struggle to speak. It's like, he had a brain injury. So at that time, it was like, whoa, life hit me hard. Like, So making that album, it was dark. It was a deep, dark time for me.
That is, when I go back and listen to the album, because I have it in my playlist, when I listen to some cuts off the album, it did feel like you were dealing with a lot.
Yes.
It felt like you're probably your most vulnerable piece of work.
It is. Like, I was the most honest with telling the truth about everything I was going through, the family, the friends, what I was going through with the homies. Then we had the Nas beef. It was everything going on at the same time. And I was, here I am trying to be a father, gigolo.
Yeah. It's a lot.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A family man there for my brother, my mother, then trying to be a businessman with my career, trying to be the little man, the Jay, to make sure he good. It was just a lot of hats I was juggling at that time. So that album, I really don't even listen to that album though.
Really?
Nope. Because it's a space in my life I don't want to.
You don't
want to
open Pandora's box. Wow. Interesting. But you said something key just now when you said that you were trying to balance it all. How did you keep your sanity during that time?
My friends, you know, people like my bro B.I. Because it's so crazy. I took my boys to Miami for Memorial Day. That's when that happened to my brother. We went to Miami. I probably paid for 25 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
When my brother got in an accident, I ended up staying in Miami for 2 years because he was in the hospital for a year. Then he had 6 months rehabilitation. So I had my mother come down, my grandmother, lost my grandmother in that time down there, all that. It's dark time then. That's what I'm telling you. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, at that time, where was I going again? I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was asking you, how did you keep sanity and not go insane?
Because everybody left, right? Like I said, I flew about 30 people down there when it was like, okay, I'm not going home. Everybody left. One person stayed, my boy B.I., and I call him my brother. That's my dog. He's the most loyal guy I got in my crew. I love him, right? He stayed, and he would not let me break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would not let it happen. He's one of the guys in my crew that been through everything, like, you know what I'm saying? So when it come down to pain, I'ma listen to him.
Yeah.
He know pain firsthand.
Wow, I love that. When you're in wartime and that beef is happening in the crew, and I'ma say this. Well, everybody knows that
In Rockefeller or
no beef in the rap beef when it's a battle when you go on a war.
Okay, yeah.
Because at that time y'all had the biggest battle.
Beef, yeah.
And it wasn't social media back then.
No.
Can you imagine if it was?
We was on. It's so crazy that we was really out looking for niggas, going to clubs, hoping we bump into them. I remember we did Teen Summit. The police was in there. They wouldn't let us. They put our dressing room outside.
I think it's
because
of y'all. We got hip hop police. Now.
Yeah, they was on some. Yeah, they was on us. And we was on Demon Time then. And I'm glad we never bumped into any of these guys because it would have went places where we can't be cool today.
But I want to get into the studio session.
Oh yeah, it was on.
How are y'all in the studio sessions when it's like, because when you're in a battle, you gotta stay locked in the studio.
Yes.
Because the key is you don't know who's what they shooting.
That's right.
And you don't really know, do they got what they say they got? You know what I'm saying? So we gotta be on lock. I've been in a battle before.
Yeah, you gotta
with,
be on
with
lock.
With some of my homies that have these, like, rap battles, I've been in there and we've been in that studio, like, and people start feeding you information, like, this engineer might be in the studio, like, yo, this nigga, she coming, you better stand up. Like,
yeah, no, we had studio sessions. Remember, we lived in Baseline.
Yeah.
Baseline was our house. Like, I would literally wake up in the morning, take my son to school, and go to Baseline and be in there all day until it was time to go to the club or the 40-40 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we always would be in there. Beans and I'm going to drive up from Philly, State P, I'll be there, us, and we in there talking shit. And you always got that one guy in the crew that's playing that record. Yo, son shitted on you. Listen to what he said. You going to let these niggas talk about you like that? Then you got Jay. Y'all ain't here bullshitting with bars. Y'all letting them diss us. We got to do something. So we laughed and joked about it with each other. It wasn't serious like these kids are today, to where they feel like they're humiliated, like they can't live with themselves. They got to hide from the cameras
because
now.
Jay said something interesting in that GQ magazine where he said, I don't know if beef is good for the culture now. And I looked at him like, is it older Jay talking? But
yeah, that's older Jay talking. That's 100% older Jay talking. I don't agree with that. Beef is beef.
But because now there's so many layers to beef right now.
What he meant, I don't think he meant as far as like the battle rap and the beefing rap. I think he just meant, and you know, certain targets you shoot, you miss. It ain't always perfect.
Yeah.
Where I think Jay was trying to say is the fans are too invested in the beef.
Mm.
Where these little crews that's the Beehive, the Barbs, the this ones and that one, they be out for blood. I wave the white flag.
Yo, when
all
Remy,
the time.
Everybody knows Remy is one of my best friends. When Remy got into that war with Nicki Minaj, when that beef happened.
Oh, the Barbs come after everybody.
They leaked my number.
Yo.
They leaked my number and leaked my radio station email address.
Yo.
And were literally like.
All day,
nonstop. Yo, it was wild.
That's what I think Jay is talking about, where the fans get super invested and it becomes more than the record. They try to critique and criticize the person.
Yeah.
Where it's like we're judging competition on art.
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Why aren't we counting anymore?
Well, the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper has the Q4 support system that helps relieve aches and back pain.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Save this Memorial Day. Shop at a retailer near you.
Yeah.
Not the person. Like, yeah, you're going to say disrespectful lines. You could go back to the Jay and Nas. Disrespectful lines, disrespectful this, whatever, whatever. But none of them tried to destroy each other's character off of record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the fans do the damage at.
Because
it's not the artist going out there preaching, yeah, this is him, stand by it. It's the fan base.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that's where I think the beef is not good for hip hop, because it waters it down. And I feel him, man. Like, we shouldn't hate Drake.
Right.
Like, there's no way people should hate that man.
But
like,
I always said this, as a hip-hop fan, right? I always say this about Drake. I can still like him as an artist and still feel like he lost the battle.
Of course. Like, yo, LeBron lost championships. Do that still not make him a great NBA player?
Right.
That doesn't mean anything. Like, we don't, listen, when you go to pay your bills, they don't ask you, did you win the battle?
Okay, so what I didn't like, I'm going to just be honest. What I didn't like about the battle between Kendrick and Drake, I didn't like that he filed the lawsuit.
No.
I didn't like that, and you don't have to speak on it, and here's the reason why, because I feel like the same thing you accuse him of is the same thing you did too. Like, you said some really disrespectful things about him and his child and questioning his paternity.
Nah, that's a fact, man.
And
but let's be all the way transparent here. Me saying you need to be on the Maury show, the DNA the DNA test determined that is not, that was a lot. That's but not the same.
It's
as
not the same, but
they
you
calling
he,
you a PDF.
I know, but that, he did call him a woman beater. He said he beat his woman and he child is not his. He said some disrespectful things.
I agree, but listen, let me ask you a question. I don't know if Kendrick Lamar beat his woman. Is there a record of this?
No, it's no record of, to my knowledge, of him. There were conversations and footage and things of that nature.
But then, you know what I'm saying? Then when they Kendrick say he's a PDF, they try to pull record of this, where they're pulling videos and can't, like, you have to defend yourself, right? That's a title that's not cool. Like, I always tell people, it's three rumors You just not going to hear of a person. When you hear these three rumors about a person, either any one of them, it's some truth to it, because we just don't make up shit in our culture. You're not going to be like, yo, this person got HIV. Nobody's making that up. You're not going to be like, yo, this person is a rat. You're not making that up. You're not saying this person questioning his sexuality. Mm-hmm. These are things you're going to have proof on before you mention it.
Yeah.
Right? And we live in the world today where you don't need proof. All you have to do is mention it, and this is you. So filing a lawsuit, calling police is wrong when you call yourself a warrior, gangster, whatever you want to. But protecting yourself, I don't know.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I just don't like how he handled that. Aftermath of the beef. And I've always said this. I said this on my show. I said this on my other podcast show. I will always be a fan of of Drake. Just like when Nas and Jay-Z were beefing. I'm always going to be a fan of Jay-Z. But I felt Ether killed him. Yeah, but
people say Ether was the best record. I don't believe that. And I seen Ron Browse yesterday and told him, you not Ether boy no more. Change your name.
But I'm always been a bigger fan of Jay. Everybody knows that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, your opinion is Ether killed them. My opinion is Takeoff was better. But does it hurt either of their status, career,
persona? We're not going to use this moment to debate this, but me and you got to have this debate.
No, but
we
got to
have this debate.
Seriously, it doesn't hurt their character or nothing.
No. But I'm saying.
PDF? Man.
Okay.
Man, that's like labeling you a snitch with no paperwork. You going to defend yourself.
I get it. I get it from that perspective.
I'm going to defend myself in a different way. We might not have called the law. We might have jumped off the cliff. They'd have been like, Bleach should have just called the lawyers.
Okay. But I got to get to another record that I really, really loved, which was... the Dear Summer record.
Oh, man. I slept on that one.
Why?
Because I thought I was doing what Jay did for me, but didn't realize I was literally killing myself. It was like playing Russian roulette with the full clip.
Not just like, one bullet.
Yeah, it was a full clip.
Yeah.
So, remember, when Jay dropped Volume 2, Hard Knock Life, he figured it was dope if people bought his album and the first person they heard was me.
Yeah.
Like how we got the idea from Snoop. When you first bought Doggy Style, the first person you heard is Lady of Rage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we was like, that's dope. Let's start the album like that. So my thing was, I wanted to return the favor. And he had a message he wanted to get off, and he had no project to put it on. Here come my album. Yo, Jay, let's use this song as the intro of the album. Hell yeah, Bleak, let's do it. We gotta be dope. The song went crazy.
It went viral was a thing.
And then after it come out, yo, why you ain't put a verse on it? My nigga, it's your record. You never said Bleak put a verse on it. Like, one thing we know in Rockefeller, don't just be rhyming the Jay record because you like it. Because you don't just touch a masterpiece. It's like going in Michelangelo's paint shop and just like, oh, this line is off. Let's fix that.
It's interesting you say that, though, because that's like going to Maya Angelou and putting lines in her poetry.
That's what I'm
saying. I never really looked at it like
that. So it's like you don't touch a man's artwork unless he invites you to create with him. You know what I mean? So I never thought about putting a verse on it, but looking back in hindsight, yeah, I was a little bit retarded. I was slow, short bus on that one.
You should have put a verse on that.
Word.
You should have definitely put a verse on that. How do you define, when you look back at all the success and all of these stories we talk about these records, right? How do you define what those, all of these moments have been for you, the legacy today, when you look back at the Rockefeller legacy and you look back at like the 1999, 2000, 2003, like if you can define that legacy, and I know you're still living out your legacy, but like y'all made some really huge impacts.
If I could define it, man, I would just say unimaginable. Because it was something I didn't imagine. I didn't vision it. I just knew. It's like the term work. You know if you work, you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. if the work you're doing is going to turn out to be monumental or historic. You're just doing the work. You don't know that you're actually doing something that's legacy driven. So that's all it was to us. So looking back, it's like, had we known, would we had approached it different? Maybe, but I'm glad we didn't. You know what I mean?
If you look at like hip hop success prior to the 90s, right? When you look at Sugar Hill Gang and, you know, all of these other acts that Kumo D and, you know, even who Jay looks up to, Eric B and Rakim. Mm-hmm. He mentions Eric B and Rakim a lot in his interviews. They opened the door, but they never made the money that you guys made off the culture. And now, so it went like, y'all raised the bar in the 90s, right? You had MTV Cribs, all of this stuff, like crazy, 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 made it international. Mm-hmm. Then now you got the kids behind you are now able to make even more money.
Branding now. They have the brands that we didn't have behind us. Sprite wasn't endorsing us. We ain't have no Coca-Cola commercials. So I feel like we were the first generation to usher in business side of music. Where I feel like our peers before us were more creativity driven, more the artist driven, more of the talent side. You know what I mean? I don't think they understood the business. I don't want to say I don't think they understood the business. I don't think they even knew what the business could be or where it was going. They was just so happy people appreciated the art, I believe.
Yeah.
You know? And then now here we come, Jay, the businessman who you kept him out, who coming in the game, M up, you're not going to think nothing less but more.
But see, I always felt like Jay was a businessman before he became a rapper.
Yes.
Because of the way you could see how he moved it. If you studied him as a fan and if you studied him as a business person, the way he moved the chess pieces.
Yes.
You could tell it was like, I could rap, but I'm really a businessman.
That's why if you really go back to Jay, his whole thing was he was dropping one album and being done. I think Jay thought he was going to wash his money and quit. Boy, did he wash it. He put that shit in spin cycle.
You remember when Kingdom Come dropped at Madison Square Garden and the fans were like going crazy?
Crazy.
I remember I had gotten a ticket to that show. Crazy. And they had the cameras panning all of the fans and people were literally in tears.
Like, that's... I'm afraid of this Yankee Stadium shows, man. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I'm coming as your plus one. Yo, so you know.
Everybody and their mama. Even my lawyer hit me like, yo...
I'm putting a pressure on Bleak right now. Putting a pressure on Bleak. But no, but how intentional has it been for you to follow, now that you saw the blueprint and you worked under him, he showed you the move, how intentional it was for you to step outside of just being an artist and get into the business side of the game?
It was everything, because one thing Jay used to always preach to us, that we can't rap forever. We're not going to be on stage forever. What, you going to be on stage with a walker? Like, he used to always preach that to us. Like, you have to find something else outside of music that drives your passion too. Mm-hmm. Because you can invest in things, but if you're not passionate about it, it's literally just giving money away. Mm-hmm. You're going to watch your business fail. So I like to invest in things that I'm passionate about. Like, I have the restaurant and the bar in Vegas. I love Vegas, one of my favorite cities. I feel like it's the only city you got $5 in your pocket and have a conversation with somebody who got $5 million in their pocket.
Yeah, that's true.
And they won't look at you any different. Y'all both sitting at the bar with a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we opened up an Italian restaurant out there, and then we opened up a sports bar called Tuscan Cove, the Italian restaurant Roma Kitchen, you know, doing real estate. I got into that because that's the thing all rappers tell you. Get some rental properties. Listen, I have 4 of them. I sold 3. I'm on my last one. I'm ready to give it away because I'm done with tenants. I don't want to get them calls.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know what I'm saying?
I had one and I was like,
Yeah, this is not for me. Everything ain't for everybody. Yeah. So I got into the food business. I got into the marijuana business. You know, we got Mind Right Exotics and stores in Maryland, Vegas. We putting a deal together in Puerto Rico.
And you did the cognac too, right?
Yeah, Douce. Jay made me, you know, that's his deal with Bacardi. You know, I've ran the place so hard that they assume I own the brand. I have my percentage, but I don't own Douce.
Right.
Let's clear that up. It's not mine, but I help Jay started, so I get a significant payment.
Right.
Monthly. I say that's why I say people say, yo, Jay don't look out for Bleak.
Right.
Chase Bank think otherwise.
Yeah. But see, but those are the conversations that, you know, is really none of people's business, though. You know, at the end of the day.
That's why I don't even say it. It's like, you should see it. Like,
but not only that, like, I hate when people feel like you're always supposed to be entitled to someone's success. If they let you in the rooms, aren't you supposed to establish your own?
That's what I'm saying. Don't you want to be your own? Don't these people have families of their own?
Yeah.
Like all these guys who speak on that about me, right?
Right.
They don't even got to say no name.
Right.
Where's your lady at? You don't got no lady to go on vacation where you just go on vacation when he go on vacation.
Right.
You don't got no kids. Where your kids at? Where these birthday parties? They don't have no parties.
Or college tuition.
Like, goddamn, you just spend your whole life chasing behind this dude. You live nothing on your own. And then you so caught up in being behind him, you looking at other niggas, seeing if they like you. No, we not like you, fam.
Right. No, I understand that, because when you have someone that you could look up to that has given you the blueprint,
you got
to
take the keys and run.
You got to take the keys to run with it.
You got
to. Especially if he's giving you the access to do it.
Definitely. Like, you have to take the keys to run. Jay sat a bottle of Douce on the table and told me, let me see what you could do with that. And I turned it up. And here we are. I turned it up so hard that people think it's mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't go hard. It don't get better than that.
Yeah.
Like, that tells you the work ethic that I... And then think, I'm a person who went in the club from the back door. Getting that brown paper bag, getting on stage performing, to now going through the front door trying to sell you a product. So it's almost like I became a Jehovah Witness to the club for Douce. Like, because I got a lot of doors closed in my face. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't easy, especially when you got conglomerates like Remy and Hennessy that been in the game, got a 100-year head start on you. So I wasn't hit with an easy task. It wasn't a layup.
It's very hard.
The spirits business is
very hard.
That and food, I feel like, are the two most top business that people get in and fail.
And I was going to say in the restaurant business.
Yes, you get
extremely
in.
Extremely
hard. It's super hard because you have to daily reinvent yourself and reinvent them. It's all about pleasing people. If you're not a people pleaser, don't get in none of these businesses where you have to cater to people.
Yeah. What do you think younger artists misunderstand about longevity?
I think they don't appreciate it.
Mm.
These guys is doing it backwards than we did. We lived such a street life that we looked at music as a savior from the streets. Where these guys look, I believe they looking at music as the flex for the streets.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I don't think they even understand what longevity is. Like think to us, longevity was making it to 21.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't think these kids even think they're gonna make it to 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they just want their two, three-year run, and I lived. I'm good.
Yeah. What I loved about the Rockefeller days and what a lot of the executives did back then, they didn't mind in artist development. Mm. They knew, like, okay, I would say only a few executives moved like this. Kevin Lyles.
That's right.
Jay.
Irv Gotti. D from Rough Riders.
Yeah. Russell Simmons, they believed in the art of development of an artist.
Yes.
Where now it's like, let's just put out the best algorithm driven artist. And so now you see we're in a space where it's not working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the labels are scrambling, trying to figure out how does it all make sense now? So, and then you don't have any cultural people left in these buildings.
Nope.
Sylvia Rowan is gone. You don't have Kevin Lyles in the building right now. You don't have anybody. I don't want to say like you don't, but because there is some. You don't have enough,
That's right.
You don't have enough people moving those buildings.
Moving the needle. And then you don't have bigger voices. That's what they have people. They just don't have the voice
that
a Kevin Lyles and all of them, Julie Greenwald and all of them had in this industry. These guys is just starting.
But that's why I think it is a good time for independents like a Rockefeller, like what Cash Money did, like what Master P did. You know, I think now is needed more than ever, like TDE, what they're doing.
Yes.
Like, because there's nobody taking these artists from incubators and actually understand it, it takes 5 to 10 years to really
build
you up.
That's right.
And to give them process to become an artist. Like, I look at some artists.
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counting anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.
Whose internet space is so big that the music is not catching up. Nope. So now you see, okay, if they're not with the antics, that they can't figure out how to just keep throwing shit out there because they haven't developed the music as quick enough. So it's always been for me as an executive, look at the even keel. Like, mm-hmm. okay, you want to be here, but then here. And artists should never be so big that the music is not matching. Because yes. at some point, it's going to, like a wave that's going to crash.
You answered your own question. The antics is bigger than the music.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, you're more of a social media sensation than a musician sensation. Like, I should say it like that. Like, people don't...
But that's why I respect... This is why I respect the genius mind of someone... like a Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. She gonna perfect it.
She gonna perfect it, but not only that, don't matter what stage Beyonce is on. This is like you can write a whole school lecture on her success or her career. And we're just talking about the musical journey. I'm not even talking about all the other mm-hmm. shit she does. Wherever stage Beyonce is on, whether it's Coachella, this or that, Beyonce is never negating her underbelly of fans in Black culture. She's going to take Black culture to everywhere she goes.
That's
I don't
right.
care if it's Coachella with the live bands, the HBCU bands. I don't care if it's at the inauguration of
That's
a president
right.
or she's somewhere overseas. And
she's going to represent the culture
for
sure.
She understands that part even as she goes into, I'm going to make a country album. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Her art speaks so much volumes. She
yes.
never put... her celebrityism before her art.
No.
Her art is the celebrity.
Yes.
And then she, you know,
like,
obviously.
She's a, B is a robot, man, to me. Nobody works as hard as B.
Yeah.
Man, female, baby, I don't care. No one works harder than B. And she's a perfectionist. Like, when it come down to her shows, everything, all of that is her production, designed by her. She's sitting there critiquing that.
Yeah.
Like, I hear Jay telling me, like, when I go to these shows and I'm like, yo, this stage is insane. He like, yo, B designed all this shit.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, you don't understand. She be on me. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those type of people I feel like are necessary in the industry, but it's also so few and far because... like I said, people don't appreciate the gift they got, the opportunity they have. They take it for granted. They think the door is open forever or they're going to be young forever. A lot of these kids today think they're going to be young forever.
Not.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like you got to carve, mold your career around the things you respect and want to highlight. Like a lot of these, just look around. T, like,
I know, it's a lot of them that get a 2-3 year window. Yeah, highlight.
They highlight trash, man. Like, these kids don't stand for anything. Like, these new artists don't have a message. It's just words over beats.
And they don't have the longevity. Like, this is why I think of the artists in the last 5 to 10 years that have sustainability. Like, when I think of, like, as a programmer, somebody who programs radio, when mm-hmm. I look at records that I want to put in golds and I want to put in records that could stand the test of time, we struggle as programmers to find records from this generation that can stand 20 years from now.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
You're going to get a 2-3 year window, but if you're not making... like an album rollout. What is an album rollout now? A lot of them don't even know what that is.
No, it's going on Twitch. They're going on somebody's stream. That's a rollout.
Right.
It's no more mom and pop meet and greets.
It's no touching more, your fans. Like,
yeah.
Are you concert tickets, hard ticket sellers?
But that,
like,
then they charging them for the picture.
Right.
Like, so you really never touching the fan. You touching the dollar.
So, you know, it's we're in interesting times. I'm curious to see how we turn the curve, I feel like it's going to have to.
It's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a whole new usher of talent coming through. It's not going to happen from the ones we have now.
Yeah.
Because they already here. They not. Yeah. They intend is just to make the money, not change the spectrum or make a movement in music. Like, I don't even think it's kids today that's inspiring to be Kevin Lowes, Russell Simmons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's not, you're right.
I don't think, like, they want to all just be Jay.
Or they all, right. Or they all want to be streamers or content creators.
It's like everybody wanted to be Joy. Nobody wanted to be Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, nobody?
Nobody. Nobody. So, listen, I could sit here. This has been such an amazing conversation. Like, I wish
we gotta
do this more often. When we talk, it's not like hours in. Because I still haven't got through half of what I wanted to talk to you about. But I know you do have to catch a flight. But the last question I'm going to ask you is, what does the success look like for you now? And what do you want your legacy to be when you say it's all said and done?
Success for me now is family. Mm. Seeing my baby girl happy when I come home, that running hug and jumping
in my
arms.
How old is she now?
7. Wow. Like, with a son, I got all the love, but boys just don't show you that love. Little girls show you. Like, my daughter made me soft. So that's success to me, that I get to be the 12, 11-year-old kid I was. I can't be dark around my daughter. Yeah. I'll be like, yo, I'm tough.
Yeah.
She the toughest one in the house. So that's success to me, family. And what I want people to see of me now is, I want people to understand it's cool to get older, man.
Yes.
You know, we have too many of these guys from my generation that still want to hold on to that youth, still dress like the kids, hang on the corner with the kids. Like, these glasses ain't for show. These shits is needed. Like...
I just told you, I go to bed at 9 o'clock, bitch is old, okay?
These shits is needed. Shit get blurry. I'd be Quincy Jones outside, like, word up. So that's what I want people to know when they see me. It's cool to get older, to mature, man. It's fun. It actually is fun. I eat better.
Yeah.
I sleep better.
You take care of yourself.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so... And I'm not with 100 people. I ain't with 3-4 people. I'm good.
Yeah. No? Skin looks good.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I'm saying? No, I think it's important for people to understand there's nothing wrong with being, I call it, my husband laughs when I call it, like, you look dignified.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
My wife hate when I say, yo, you want me to wear my grown-up clothes or my hooligan clothes? She be like, all your clothes should be grown-up.
Right, exactly. I'm like, you look dignified. There's nothing wrong with, like, gracing, you know, aging gracefully and understanding,
and embracing,
like, embracing it, but understanding you do have something to offer to a whole generation behind you.
And that's what made me start the podcast, T. Yeah. That's what made me do it. Like, you know, I watch what's going on in the space, in the world. Everybody get out there just looking for the algorithm, clickbait, want to talk about their dirty laundry or somebody they felt wronged them. And I just feel like we need a spade, more people in this space that represent the culture for what it is, not what's out. Like, I don't care. Like, just put the artist like Lil Wayne. I'm a fan of Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I love where his music has taken him, the as much music he put out, you know what I mean? The family man he is, he's a great father, all of that. If I ever got a chance to interview him, I wanna know that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know none of the controversy he ever been through. I would never bring that up because I'm a fan of the culture, not a fan of the highlight reel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
no,
I feel like it's too many people in this business that's a fan of the highlight reel. They sit you down only when you in the media. Like, if something happened to you, then they want to interview you. It's like, man, it's people that contributed to this business so much that deserve voices and acknowledgement that we don't give it to them because they not shaking, as we would say.
And you know what? But you know what also frustrates me? I don't even want to say it's frustrating because I do have this conversation with people. They're like, you still want to, like, you know, do this and talk and stuff like that. And it's like so many people getting into your space and blah, blah, blah. I said, but not a lot of people have validation or understand it for a lived experience or have the knowledge of how it works.
Exactly.
Anybody can have a microphone and have an opinion.
And spew bull crap all day.
You can have an opinion, but you ain't did shit.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't.
And you're not having real conversation. Like, this is real conversation here. Mm-hmm. People come up here, they want to just hear, yo, how was it backstage? How was the girls back there? What was the groupie life back? Tell me about, yo, when you and Jay was over. It's like, yo, bro, come on.
You know what?
This is what we here for.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I don't even do interviews. Ever since I started the pod, I do not do no one interview.
Yeah.
UT, you my family. Like, I love you.
But
I'm pulling up.
I hope this was good for you, but I'm
a fan.
Because I want to know, like, for me, like, I was riding in the car with that.
That's
really
how I feel. And that's why I do it, because I want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the highlight reel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to know what it took to make you make that album.
Yes.
When Lil Wayne did Drop the World on your. I want to know how.
And what was your mindset?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
And what was those sessions like? when y'all cooking and y'all got to go to war, like,
that's
who's
right.
Writing what and who's what is everybody's position in that room?
Yeah, I don't care how he feel about Pusha T. I will never ask him that.
Because
I know I'm an artist. I'm in the bin. I know how you feel. You don't feel.
You just go. Exactly.
Word up.
All right. Well, listen, I'm coming on your podcast. When
Let's
I go to
go.
Miami, we're gonna chop it. I'm gonna definitely hit you.
Please. We need female presence. Too many niggas hollering at me.
Yo, it's crazy because I'll be saying that all the time. I'm like, this is why me and Kim Osorio started our podcast.
Shout out Kim. I gotta get her up there. I wanna know why she only gave me 3 mics.
I'm gonna ask her that in our next podcast. I'm gonna ask her that. But we started our own podcast called Trigger Warning because we were watching a popular podcaster talk about Megan Thee Stallion, and it was so negative and so dark, and we were like, this is the problem, is so many men in this business who have so many things to say about women or critique us in ways that are so unfair.
And
there's no female voices at the table.
Me and my homies, we talk about that, man. A lot of these guys that be out here bashing women, it's because they want to be y'all.
Yeah.
That's why. They want to be one. Like, because that, come on. We all have mothers. We all have sisters, daughters, aunts.
But there's no female voices that come from the culture that have insight to, like.
But since when it's been cool for a man to kick down a woman?
It's a different
it's
time.
It's never been cool, man. No, it ain't the time. It's never been cool, man.
Like, I know it's not
that,
the
that
time.
That movement that they say protect black women, I believe that. And I'm really with that, man, because just us as a culture, we have, even as men, we have no protection. We protect ourselves, but then we going to be the ones bashing our women?
Yeah.
That's not right, man.
But I think it's an uneven playing field for women artists versus men artists. Women get critiqued at such a higher standard than men.
Yes.
And that's why there has to be more women executives, more women on podcasting, more women
media.
In media, more women in, you know, programming, and even like being a female executive, the level of stuff I had to deal with that Ebro probably never had to deal with when he was in my seat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the reason why she and I started that podcast, because we'll get on there and we'll be like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Yep. No, that's
you
a fact.
Nuts.
These guys be out here tripping the way they be going hard on the women. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not a fan of it. It's,
so
it's
we
bad.
Do. So if we say all that to say, we do need more women
definitely.
In this space.
But I was going to say too, with that being said, it's the same thing that's happening with the young men out here. They tricking our young women, man.
Mm-hmm.
They women rather be flued out than be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get back to the it starts at home, man. It's the parents, the moms, the dads. You have to instill that you can be great in your kid. And I don't think these parents tell their kids they could be great anymore.
Yeah.
Because they just want to be regular. They just want to be seen and lit. And lit is not great.
It's nothing worse than being famous and broke.
No, yo, talk about it. Popularity with no salary is crazy.
It's crazy. It's nasty work out here. When you gotta go back to the projects
that
you
my
got
Jesus.
2 million Instagram followers.
What? I tell you, can't pay bills with likes.
Man, I've literally seen girls go to the store and ask Saks for shopping bags so they can post online with nothing in them.
That's insane.
It's insanity.
That's insane.
But that's kind of where we're at in society. That's why I think society as a whole needs a whole facelift,
Need a reboot. Like, you need to unplug it and plug it back in.
Exactly. Well, it's Memphis Bleak, everybody. It's Tap In with TT. Thank you guys so much for tapping into this episode.
You know what it is. Tap In with TT.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man.
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counting anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.